on this feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the Church gives us a choice of two Gospels, actually two first readings as well. I chose this second one because it talks about Our Lady's visit. And I think it'd be worth reflecting for a moment on the wonder of God's plan. The history of the Church is filled with the accounts of the visit of Mary. Now, most of them are not official, if you will, but they're real. I had a very holy old aunt who died at 92, and she went through a real, she was a very holy person. She was actually a fashion consultant on Fifth Avenue and taught everybody the memorare, whether they were Christians or Jews or whoever they were, the women who came to, and everybody just loved her. She was, well, she went through a dark night over a tiny thing, because she was a priest, you know. She was a high school graduate. She wasn't a theologian, though she was a very good theologian. Why did they add this thing about the Assumption so late in the Divine Praises? What? Why was that? Why did they wait so long? What? And that troubled her deeply in her spirit. And it was, for her, a great crisis of faith. And she lived through it and trusted God. And one evening, actually one night, in her Riverside Drive apartment in New York, which looks over the Hudson River and the Palisades on the other side in New Jersey. For all you New Yorkers, you recognize what I'm talking about. Our Lady came. She came over on the other side and came across the Hudson and came into her apartment and just smiled at her. And that was the end of the whole trial. And that was that. Now, I know my Aunt Mary. She's not an exaggerator. I mean, that was one of these visits like this one to Elizabeth. And it lifted this trial. And from that moment on, she was a very different person. And very powerfully endowed with the gift of being able to talk to people about God all over the place. Sometimes embarrassing me when I was with her. She just start out, I think I've told you that story before, huh? We were standing on a street corner in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And as I say, she would talk to everybody anytime, you know. So she said to the fellow on the other side of, I was on this side, and this fellow was on the other. She said, "Hasn't God given us a beautiful day?" And he said, "Yeah, I guess so." I mean, he wasn't, looked like he was too heavy into religion, you know, but but yeah, I guess it must be God. I don't know. So she goes on for a little while, and then the light changes. And just as it's starting to change, she says, "My nephew here's a priest. He'll bless you if you want." So I said, "Oh, you know, name, come on." So of course, I blessed the fellow, and he was happy enough, I guess. I don't know if he ever been blessed before in his life. But see, this would just come out of her spontaneously, and nobody was embarrassed except me. You know, nobody was embarrassed. Nobody was, you know. And it's funny, as my life goes on and I talk to people all over the place, I say, "My gosh, I'm getting more like my Aunt Mary." But the point of the story was this visit of Our Lady to my Aunt Mary. Now if you step back and look at the Church, the visits of Our Lady, which are acknowledged. Now you know that there is no apparition of Our Lady which has to be believed de fide. You know, but come on, I mean, we got the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. Yeah, I mean, the Church says Our Lady's coming. Now, why? You see what's going on right now in the world, huh? There's not just an atheism, there's an anti-theism. We've talked about, you know, dear old Oprah now is going to have this, her radio show is going to have 365 days of teaching on the New Age. Every day. She has quite an influence, this good woman. And we're going to say, you know, we are God. These are some of the quotes that came to us in the email. And we don't need salvation. And this is such a tragedy, huh? Now, how is the church going to be strengthened and meet these things, huh? That, I think, has been the role of these visits. Now, Mary has come nearly every time to talk about prayer for the world and to talk about the rosary most of the time. And this is very important, but it's her presence, my friends. It's her presence. There is such a power and an authority in purity. Sexual purity, but purity. Purity of life, purity of gazing on God, purity of getting out of your life the stupid resentments and jealousies and ambitions and greediness. Because in that, there is strength to resist and turn back the power of darkness. That clarity, huh? You know, it's amazing that the popes that we have had, especially the movers and shakers, have all been consecrated to Mary. Starting with John Paul, John the 23rd, John Paul the 2nd, certainly this man, consecrated to Mary. I think there is something that the Lord is telling us, huh? But our own stirring up of our faith, for one thing, taking this seriously. You know, in the encyclical on the Mother of the Redeemer, John Paul II stops to talk about the consecration in the form that St. Louis de Montfort advocates, and stops to say in the encyclical to the whole world, this is very important and this is very efficacious. There are other ways. The key is to have that kind of a relationship to Mary that gives her access to us. She may not come every day. She may not come like she did to my Aunt Mary, but she'll come. She'll visit. And the visit is to strengthen and purify our hearts and to work out take on something of her personality, that zeal for God and the humanity. She was a housewife. And in the strength of that purified humanity, withstand these assaults of evil and protect the young. We can do it. We have the power. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. But as I was reflecting this morning about this visitation of Our Lady at Tepeyac, huh? And again, as usual, to a very simple person, but think of the lives that have been changed at Guadalupe. Think of them. And yet, what did she leave as a sort of a calling card? This fellow's Tilma with her image on it, you know. And all the scientists trying to figure out how it got there. And she said, fine, let him. That's great. In other words, I think the message is a very sanctified humanity. And that's going to cost us everything we got. It's not a joke. It's work. Most of the work is letting God do the work, but letting him do the work. There's a message in this providence of God. And these visits of Mary, always telling us, pray, mostly, very often, pray the rosary, pray fast. You are the church. You know, the very divine Son of God incarnate dwells in you. He prays in you. He intercedes in you. Give him full reign. For the sake of this world, who has never been so anti-God since creation. I don't know how bad they were before God talked to Abraham. Who does? But now, he's come. He's come among us as a man. He's died for us. He's taken our sins and transformed them and brought the whole human race to a possibility of being with God forever. And just turn on the TV, listen to the radio, read all these so-called smart people in the newspapers and the books. It's anti-God. Where does that come from? And who leads the army of light? It's a great famous prophecy of Louis de Montfort, you know, about the army of light that Mary is raising. It's an army of light. But you see, that means it's an army of humility, of purity of heart, of honest humanity, and love for God.